Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's good to be here. Thank you all for sharing those thoughts. I was sitting there, I was inspired, and it would have been a blessing to continue. It's a blessing to hear those beautiful truths from the book of Ephesians. Thank you, all you young men. But we'll take a few minutes here and share a few things that the Lord laid upon my heart. Together, maybe we could rise together for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning hour, this forenoon hour on this Lord's Day, we gather before you, Lord, and we worship you, and we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for the word that was taught to us today very clearly, Lord, on marriage and dealing with things that appear right, and Lord, to not only act and live morally right, Lord, but to be clean and pure and holy, and be born of your Spirit, that earnest of your Spirit that you long to give to your people. Lord, we ask for that this day. We ask that for this moment, Lord, that you would hover over this place, Lord, that you would let the things be shared that you desire to be shared, and that the other things would be left aside. Father, we ask for your guiding hand and your anointing upon this time. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that he is truly alive this morning. And help us to reflect that in the way we live. We love you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, it's a Lord's Day morning. You know, a Sunday morning, and we're gathering together with the saints, gathering together with the children of God. I was thinking about that this week. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Thinking about that this week, we experience the saints on a Sunday, and we experience them through the week. We experience them in different ways, but God's people are very precious. Was encouraged again this week about just to see the hand of God working through God's people in our own lives, helping each other, caring for each other, giving a helping hand, kind words, encouragement, blessings. Way outweighs the great challenge of ill feelings and bitternesses and words, and way outweighs, because those things do happen. There's pain happens in hearts, and there's words get said. But just think about those things. I was thinking about that this week some experiences that we face. You know, I thought of gathering this morning. I thought of a life behind every face. You know, every face in this room, there's a life behind it. Isn't that a powerful thought? I was thinking, and to gather like this, and every one of us have a face, and we have a life, and we have an experience. And the experiences in our life have shaped us and have molded us. We can't run from them. That's what happened. That's what's happening. We are being molded and shaped by our experiences. But however, our experiences are not the final authority. Our experiences, they mold us and shape us. But the way we respond to our experiences help us to become more like Christ, or we become cold and bitter and stony. We receive this morning, God takes us through hard times. This happens. He takes us through times that don't make any sense. This happens. But Jesus is truly on the throne this morning. He's the Lord of the universe. If we ask sometimes the question, and none of us, you know, the question that hesitatingly gets answered at times, do we believe that God knows what he's doing? We know the right answer is yes, in every situation, God knows exactly what he's doing. But our responses and our reactions to those things prove exactly what we believe about that. Surrendered to him. He's the Lord of the universe. You You know, this morning, it's as we shared, it's a very historical, very traditional, a very true account of life of all of the Christian church, that Christ has risen from the dead. This risen Christ has the power to divinely influence our inner man to walk in the newness of life. So this morning, it's going to be a little bit different. Some of the thoughts that I've been sharing, I don't have a long message. I have somewhat more of a testimony. I've had these thoughts for some time in my life, and as visiting with different brothers, we've heard a lot of testimonies in life from our brothers and sisters throughout my journey of being a Christian. And so kind of decided to share a little bit of our testimony, my personal life, and then a part of journey of life. And as I did that, I found myself on my knees. God is a good God. He's a God of mercy, long-suffering, and caring. Before I do that, I'd like to read Psalms chapter 71. That was an inspiration to us. We read this as a family. Psalms chapter 71, it says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel men. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually in thee. I am as a wonder unto many, for thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with the praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they have laid wait for my soul to take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste of my help. Let them be confounded that and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with the reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth." Remember, we read the word youth in there a couple times. This is David's cry. "I will make mention of thy righteousness." O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and the power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hath done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And I will praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Thank you. So the title for a few thoughts that, if you want a title for this, it's going to be parts of the testimony and some scriptures, is the salvation of the resurrected. The salvation of the resurrected, and that resurrected is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said that. You know, Jesus isn't just resurrecting men and women throughout his history, but when he says, I am the resurrection, you know, he is the very fabric of life, the essence of our life. And we see the psalmist David crying. He's crying out to God there. We've had an opportunity to share as a family, in the past, in a little different setting, our personal testimony. And I was humbled and blessed by that. And I thought of this young, maybe there's many in here that know me better than the words that I can speak, but there are probably some of you that don't know me or haven't known me in the past, my past life. And I'm cautious of doing these things, but I would like to be more focused. I want to focus on my life a little bit, but I also want to focus on the journey of our life. And you'll see a red flag, and you see a white flag, and then you see a green flag. And I would like to bear a burden that the Lord has laid upon my own heart for my own life and inspire us. God has provided a full salvation. We could all raise our hands and agree that God has provided a full salvation. But through the resurrection of the dead, but our life reflects exactly what we believe about that on a daily, yearly, continued basis. It reflects what we are convinced of. And this is faith this morning. Faith is not something out there that cannot be understood. Faith is a living trust in Jesus, our Lord, the one that is the resurrection. This morning, salvation is not a one-time event, but rather an active pursuit of our God, an active pursuit of our Heavenly Father. You know, I was thinking of a brother who was sharing about running up an escalator, running up something that's pushing down on us. You know, and many times in life, that's exactly how it feels. But you know, the truth is, it's all right that it feels that way. Because when we take ownership of these things and we don't build a victim mentality, there is a great victory in this life. Because no one owes us anything. We deserve the worst. Our Christian life is based upon God and His Word. It's based upon Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You know, not on how many people are running a little faster beside us up this race. We run because brother was sharing that he had something in mind at the top. He wasn't focused on being a little bit better than others. This morning, this burden that the Lord laid upon my heart, that God in heaven would receive glory from our lives, my life, my family, from generation to generation. He would receive glory. To see the mercy of God in our life. Romans chapter 6. Some verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We'll stop reading just a number of verses there that I would like to take a little bit of a foundational start of my own life. Some verses before I share is In Psalms 49:15, it says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. This is the promises concerning our God this morning. In 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as a young boy, this is why these verses are very real to me. Some of these verses as a young man, I remember hearing them. And I'd tremble in my shoes. I'd tremble. But I would hear this verse. I would hear it like this in my life. Some of you are familiar with this. I would hear it. A lebendige Hoffnung. That's a living hope. Durch die Auferstehung Jesus Christus von den Toten. That's an interpretation that I understood in my little heart as a young man. But as I stared at that, I would wonder, who could I ask about that? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because I knew that there was something different in life. There had to be something different. So some of those verses are some verses that were a blessing to me in my years ago in my life, and they are very precious to me today. You know, when you think of someone rising up from the dead, there isn't a greater testimony. There isn't a greater power. Now we're going to look at not so much from physically death, but we're going to look at the rising up from the death of sin and destruction in our lives. It's unstoppable. That's what Jesus' plan is. So I grew up a very normal young boy. I grew up with the fear of God in my life. I was taught right from wrong. I grew up with a tremendous fear to do wrong because I didn't want to go to hell. And I'm very eternally thankful for that. I want to bless God in heaven for my parents. Bless your parents for what they teach you. In my school years, was a downward spiral in my life. Bad friendships and sinful activities. Like normal things, these are normal. I don't know that we could say this is the actual heart of God. This is the way sin takes man. So when these things started taking place, it left us. It left me. Left us together as a family. We become guilt-stricken. Our consciences was filled with guilt and shame and remorse and sorry. We were always sorry for our sins. We didn't want to, we would say sorry and say sorry and say sorry. And you know, when these things were in the heart of man, when they become in my heart, we become hard like steel. And you know, a lot of times when you see a man, you don't think about it as being having a hard heart. But as a young man, I become very hard in heart. And anger became my fix. There's a lot of things that people have turned to for a fix, but anger was a fix because I could move stuff around. So I thought. And in those years of my life, I met my wife, sister, the wife of my side these days, a blessing and the mercy of God. We were both on a journey. The Lord's hand was in it. It was a span of time for about 2 years. She grew up very normal too, like all of us in this room. A span of 2 years' time, my wife, or not my wife at the time, she started bringing things to me. She wanted to do better. She wanted to live right. She wanted to be pure. She wanted to be holy. She wanted to be clean. And I didn't understand. I deeply respected her, and I give her that liberty. She started attending singings, and I appreciated that. I appreciated her. I loved her and respected her very much. But I didn't understand, so I realized I was pretty convinced in my life at that time that it was probably going to be the end of our relationship because I wasn't good enough. She was a good person. And she was. She was endeavoring to serve God. And at that point in my life, anybody see the color? This color's red. I was holding up a red flag before my Creator. I was just holding it up strong. I thought I could do it on my own. So I was holding that red flag in life, trying to do it my own way. Prior to that, I want to step back a little bit in years prior, in my teen years. We were at a youth gathering. This is a number of years prior before I met my wife. We were at a gathering, and there were some men stopped by to preach the gospel to us at a youth gathering, an ungodly situation. And they preached to us the gospel. They preached truth that a friend of mine, Brother Mervin, was there with us. We were there together that night. We sat there, and we understood it. We realized that we were on the wrong side of of everything that was going on. But I realized that night, for the first time, that night, 16, 17, probably 17 years old, I realized the first time in my life after I left innocence that I become under the conviction of God. I drove home that night inspiring to do better. I wanted to live different. So the next few Sundays in church, I would try harder to listen. And I tried to put my life into it. And I even talked to my dad at one point. And we tried to do the best we could. And it didn't seem like anything worked. It seemed like trouble got worse. And so I give up and went hard again. And when you do those things, it's very difficult for me to think about those things at times because of the mercy of God. All of you have a story. I have no special one. But He was merciful. He didn't quit. And then we entered into this situation with my wife going to singings, and she started inviting me to go along. And I refused for some time. In my life, I wanted to do better. But I really had no idea how to honor God with my life. Just to honor God with my life. And so I was still holding this flag before your Creator. I wanted the impression that I'd like to put on our lives from the youngest child to the oldest. It's the most counterproductive thing that we could ever do is to resist our Creator. Just hold out against Him. Even if we don't understand. And as I started going to these singings, one thing started becoming very clear to me, that if I don't do something with this resistance, if I don't do something with this resistance in my life, I'm going to destroy somebody. And that's what resistance does. So I started to see this resistance. And then people would talk to me. And I would hold on. And I would kind of brush them off. Very normal things. You know, my wife, my special friend at the time, she had a desire for pure courtship. She had a desire for purity. She had a desire for purity in speech. I don't know if anyone can relate with that. You know, there's a speech that goes around, a
It's just filthy and dirty.
It just goes around. It's part of the flesh. God-honoring speech. We wanted to dress right. We wanted to dress ourselves for the glory of God. She did at that time. She wanted to present her vessel in honor to God. And it was rocking my world. It was just shaking me. Because as a brother shared earlier this morning, that it is a great invitation when you see someone live holy. That's why the people followed Jesus. It was undeniable. They were following Jesus. And so, of course, in a few of those moments in life, I took up an offering. I took up this invitation and went with her to a singing. In the night, I was trying to look at dates. I never wrote these things down in my life. In 2003, in the beginning of 2004, on one of those evenings in the middle of the night, I think it was on a weekend, they had some singings in the community. And the brother there that night after we sang, he stood up and he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel, and it was one of those evenings that, you know, I was convinced that someone filled him in about everything about me. You know how the convicting that the Holy Spirit presses down on your heart. And so I went home. I dropped off my friend, my wife-to-be there. I dropped her off, and she said, "Was there anything you'd like to talk about?" And I realized, like I shared earlier, I was convinced that we were going to be done. This was going to be it. At some point, I was convinced of that. And I said, "No, I don't," because I said, I do, but I said, if I talk to you, it'll be over. And to my surprise, she said, "No, it won't be. Just talk to me." And so for the first time, after them 2 years, after I hardened my heart, I looked at that red flag. I'm trying to make an impression. And I think it was pretty well around the midnight hour, 11:30, 12 o'clock. And I was sitting there and leaning over a horse tie rack, in a very halting decision in life. And I looked at that flag and I said, "I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to lay it down." And I laid it down. And I picked up this white flag of surrender. 2004, end of 2003. And I surrendered my life to Christ. I didn't know what I was really doing, but I give it all up. So now remember, this red flag, it's available to pick up yet. But I laid it down that night, committed some things in our hearts together. I drove home for one of the first times in my life, not having to play music in my ear to think straight. I asked God to help me. I had such a grip. It was such a grip of sin in my life. And the bigger part was, like I shared earlier, I didn't face a lot of bitterness of how people used me. And I understand that's a big thing, but I started to realize the great resistance I had against my God. And people, I believe today, were trying to be nice to me. There were difficult situations. And many of them I created myself. Many of them I created relationship things in my own flesh. I dropped the red flag. I picked it up. I picked that white one up. And I never forget the greatest joy of life when you pick up the white flag and you surrender to God. I felt like a man that could sail through the air. I was delivered from the grip of Satan, the bondage of sin, that evening. It was destroyed. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, and from that day on, I endeavored to hang on to this flag, the white flag of surrender to God. That has been tampered with, has been tempered on. And I'm thankful for that. Could I say from that night on that all the sins that I've ever committed never come back and were never committed again? I can't say that. But I can say that the grip of sin was destroyed
by that surrender to Jesus that night. And I'm eternally grateful for that. The grip of sin was gone. And the white flag of surrender, sin and sinful activities and sinful desires cannot remain there. Because God is too faithful. God is watching from heaven, seeking to and fro. He knows, you know, he knows whether anyone is in this room this morning that's holding a red flag or a white one. He knows that. He knows it. And we would be foolish to try to deceive him. That's what we do. Later we got married. Hopefully we can move through this. Later we got married, happily married. We had a clean life. We prayed together. We read together. We shared our dreams and visions together. But we really had no idea what was ahead. I don't regret my marriage. It was a blessing in my life. My wife and I, we got married. And we went through some hardships through that time that are hard to put words to. But today we look at them as they were very forming. They were very fitting for our life. They helped us to be more like Christ. Helped us to realize our own need of him. So we were blessed. We're joined together. The Lord had in store. We didn't know what the Lord had in store. But we were committed together. And one thing we did together, right before we were married, or right after in that time frame, we committed together. We talked about these things. We don't want to do anything without being together. Not with transportation or different ideas, but in the heart, we wanted to know that we were together. We decided that we won't do anything without bringing each other along. And today, I know that there's differences in the way those things work, but today I am very grateful for that commitment. And we still have that commitment together today. We don't want to do anything unless we're together. So we both picked up that flag and we moved forward. It's been very foundational for the rest of us. And very, very, very much for our family. And as you know, as time goes on, this was our first married years. The Christian takes blows. But remember, when we take blows and we take the victim mentality approach, then we start to pick this back up. We pick it back up and we don't get anywhere. May we watch over this with all diligence. And then the Lord give us children, our firstborn son, and then we had three daughters and then another son. And every one of them have been a big part of our journey. Because our children, they help us to keep this flag picked up, the white flag of surrender. I look over these years, the children have been very influential in our life. They've been a big part of our life. And as I think of that, we start to think of holding up a white flag as a daddy and a mommy. And then we have a green flag. We have to move forward in life. And see, moving forward, we have a counterfeit that plagues us. We have people that move forward with a red flag and a green flag. They're moving forward. They use the same Bible verses. We use the same interpretations of Scripture at times. The same outworkings. But there's a resistance toward our God. And we're trying to move forward. You see, moving forward. Moving forward like this, it's unstoppable. Because we're surrendered to God. It is a blessing this morning also that as we journeyed along in our life, we had church decisions. We recognized those things. But we had this in mind together. We wanted to move forward because we knew God wants us to move forward. We wanted to be faithful. So we moved forward in faithfulness. Tried to. Made mistakes. But we tried to as the storms bellowed. And as the waves come around, and they do to all of us, when we just hold up these flags before God, so to speak, it's a form. Now, we're not going to walk around. If that would be that easy, we'd just pass out flags. But it's not that easy. It calls for a battle. So we move forward. And then the blessing of those decisions in life. When you see our children come, our children would lay down that red flag and say, I want to resist God no more. At a young age, that's a blessing. And then they pick up this white flag. And they say, we'll follow God, Daddy. We'll do what you and Mommy want us to do. Children, you don't have to do a bunch of sins to hold this red flag before your Creator. But you need to lay it down. So our children, our two older children, laid this red flag down in the past. And they've joined us with this white flag of surrender. The red flag of resistance is rebellion toward God. Salvation cannot come there because it's resistance. Many a good man of God get born again, take on the truth of God, take on this and this, and they start moving forward. And then a long life's journey, a blow comes, and they pick up this thing again, just lightly. But whenever this thing gets picked up, these things just kind of go down. It's a rule. It's a guide. It's just how it works. Then the whole family starts picking up the red flag when a father does it. This is a real testimony for me, just as it is for you. We've walked together with many of you as our family. Some of you, some have passed into eternity that we first met together with, and some are no longer here. That doesn't mean that anything than what I'm just saying. But every one of us are on a journey. We're on a journey home. We are on a journey to go home. We're very aware of the realities of this. The beautiful thing, the glory and the joy that blessed my life as I thought of these things, I thought, but our God is not a respecter of persons. You know, a whole face can change. A whole community can move out and another one can move in. But God will never turn away from a man, woman, or family that says, I'll surrender to you. He'll watch for it. And he'll pour a blessing out in that life. Obedience is a blessing. And then we look at faithfulness. See, the reason I wanted the green flag is faithfulness. The last two parts of our life is faithfulness and obedience. I know this was different than a message. I hope that you bear with me. Faithfulness and the word I was thinking about this week was unadulterated obedience or undeceived obedience. You know, we often have the word obedience has been battered around in different ways. But there isn't a sweeter testimony of God when a people just unadulteratively obey God. Just obey Him and come what may. That is our desire. You think of the example of Abraham. Abraham was called to take his son. He said, and go off. God told him to go offer him up as a sacrifice. Some say that, oh, he did that very easily because he knew that his son wouldn't die. But it seems to me that Abraham was a man of like passion, just like we are. And there was a time and point in his life where he made a decision to obey God against the odds because he knew whatever God said would be better for him. Abraham was convinced that God had his best in mind. And different times when I think of these things, I think this is faith. This is faith, to be convinced that God, whatever God says, this is our best. This is for our good. This is what will be good for us. You know, undeceived obedience. Obedience has been kind of scoffed at as somewhat legal or religious, but I just want us to think that the blessing of obedience, the blessings of obedient children, the blessings of, you know, to be able to see this through an eternal perspective. This has been a great heart of our family, that we would obey God and our children would obey us as parents. And yet we are we fall short of those things. But God's plan never changes, never changes. You know, the reason this is so real, this has been a burden in my heart as a young Christian. Every one of them children that were born into our care, I remember picking them up one by one. I can't pick my older ones up. And I'd ask God, would you bless them, Lord? Would you help them to serve you? Would you do this for us, Lord? And he wants to do that for us. But we face an ever-pressing age that wants to convince us that children need to experience a bunch of sin and bad doing and then return back in with a bunch of scars. But I don't believe this morning that this is the heartbeat of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this morning that God's will is that we would learn by instruction. We would learn by instruction. And when a daddy and a mommy say, son, this won't come out right for you, that we would learn by this instruction. But rather the alternative is that we learn by the terrible experiences of sin. I want to say, though, praise God. God can take these things when there's experiences of sin and he can make them brand new. And he can restore ashes and make it beauty. But I'm trying to share the burden of what we work through in our lives, what we see, what we desire, what God's word calls for, not so much everything what we think. We desire to bring honor back to him. As our family, lastly, as we grow, our children are becoming older, our youngest ones are young, and we're learning. The last part of what I'd like to share, our personal testimony, we make decisions in church life. Recently, we've been facing some very real things in our life. We've been facing some fear. Does anyone know what the word fear means in life? And I've been thinking about this. Fear. You can fear some very amazing things at times and never talk about them. But I was just thinking the last probably 2 or 3 months that this flag, I don't know that I picked this flag up, but when fear has torment, there is no peace there. And so, by the grace of God, we want to lay that down. And we started looking at God's word through the last few months on the area of fear. I'd like to share a few verses. This is a testimony of our life. Now you say, well, what would be wrong with us? Why would we fear? But I would like to share a few verses that have been a blessing to us in this area in light of our up-to-date testimony of what God's doing in our life. In 1 John, if you got your Bibles, you can turn there. 1 John 4, verse 18, we started reading through some of these verses. Verse 18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And in verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And so we started to think about that. What all did God bring us through in life? We talked about that as a family. God has been faithful and his mercies are new every morning. You know, the thing of fear hath torment. Fear this morning has a traffic. Fear is a well-traveled path. It follows after. And what follows after fear? There's a following. Fear after fear sets in. There is a, there's different words could be used. It's terror. The word terror. Then there's the word dread. You ever dread something? And then the last thought was given is fright. You're frightened. And it's probably one of the most gripping things that can grip a man or a woman or a family. And I saw these things encroaching in my life as a daddy. I saw them. And again, the same message is true. 20 years later, you get on your knees and you just pick up the white flag. And God restores our hearts. He gives us peace. This fear is slavish. It grips us. One thing to remember, though, when we studied this, we looked at the verses in Psalms. The fear of the Lord is clean. Hallelujah. You know, the fear of the Lord is clean. So may God use some of these thoughts that we shared this morning. I want to bring it to a close. There's more that could be shared. I'm going to close with some verses on the resurrection. May God help us together as families to become more like the resurrected one, Jesus Christ. That He would grant us to live 20 more years. That we would be more like Christ. That we could together be more like Christ. John chapter 11 is just a few verses I'd like to close in. John chapter 11 is where Lazarus had died there. And Jesus says to Martha, there in verse 39, he said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou heardest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And I don't know if that was extra loud, but this morning I think we can plainly hear that in a very, very good tone. Jesus cried out, "Lazarus, come forth." And I would say that that was from the actual physical death. And he says in verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." And I would like to say that, just a little insert on the resurrection power. You know, when Jesus, in John chapter 20, when Jesus was resurrected, all that stuff stayed in the grave. Isn't that a blessing? And this morning, when Lazarus come out of the grave, he was bound, and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." And I would like to inspire us as God's people that this is the heart of God, that we would resurrect into the newness of life continually. Continually. Take off the grave clothes, you know, the poor me mentality, the victim mentality, and shed it away and be free. Walking forward with a white flag, surrender to God, obedience to Jesus with unashamed hearts. And God will bless us. God will bless us, and we can enter our eternal home with great joy. That is our hearts. I pray that you were inspired in these closing verses. There's many other verses. This was a window. I pray that it could be a blessing. Our desire was, as we talked this week as a family, that God in heaven would receive glory, and His people, God's people, would be encouraged to take off the grave clothes and live a resurrected life. Live a resurrected life for the glory of God. God bless you all, and pray for us as a family, and we'll do that likewise.